it hit me, this girl's breath smelt really bad. Her breath actually smelt like poo.
I have African friends, and I can tell you, they don't come barging through the front door of my house with a spear and a grass skirt. Like,
you what? I'm black. You ain't allowed to say nigga, dog. That's racist.
Everybody should know all about the Green Cross Code. You gotta do it. You gotta. Gotham City doesn't need me. I'm gonna turn myself in.
Power pack supply bigger than Nintendo Wii.
Me, I'd walk into a shop and bow. I'd walk out the shop and bow. I'm at the till, I'll bow. It got to the point, it's just stupid. A pigeon could have flown past my face and I'd bow.
It's ridiculous. Nintendo was just being lazy.
Oh, should I get an Xbox 360 or a PS3? I'm not sure.
I don't like Halo. I don't like Halo.
My friend kicks the door open. Guess what happened? Bang! The poor girl's just gone flying back into the wall and slid down it.
And some of the levels were just absolute shit.
6+ months later, you're going to be releasing this additional chapter that should have been in the main game as an unlockable for free. No, kiss my ass, suck and guzzle on the Ouroboros tentacle, because I do not want to hear it.
If you want it like I do, let the sentiment know.
Why don't you get a brand new Wii? Forget about the PS3.
Tears are rolling down my face. As soon as I heard the... the tears started rolling. I was like, she all alone. She ain't got nobody.
Keep your Tetris life down. Tetris life down. Keep your Tetris life down.
Tetris life down. Keep Tetris.
You are now listening to the Random Rambles of Jay.
Number 22.
Currently listening to the Random Rambles of Jay for the week beginning April 26th, 2010.
Beep, beep.
My name is Jay and you are currently listening to the Random Rambles of Jay podcast number 22. I know this message comes 4 months late, but happy belated new year. Happy belated 2010. Can you believe it's April/May already? It's absolutely crazy. But I hope that those of you who are listening to my podcast in 2009 are still listening to it now. Hello to all of you, my faithful listeners, and to all you newbies, you noobs to my podcast. Shame on you for jumping on the J bandwagon so late, but I'm glad to have you on board. And I will give you a Japanese style apology on my hands and knees, forehead on the floor. Sorry that my podcast comes 4 months later than I said it would be. I've been having some technical difficulties, to say the absolute least, with my PC giving me trouble, my laptop giving me trouble, my microphone giving me trouble, and having no internet for a whole month. And all this stuff kind of just piled up into this one big thing that just prevented me from putting out a podcast when I would have liked to and when I said I would. But I'm here now for the time being. My current setup seems to be quite good, so fingers crossed I can achieve my goal to put out a podcast a month. I've got my fingers crossed here. You cross your fingers for me too. Unless, of course, you hate these podcasts in which you wish I was dead. But yes, newbies, I'm grim. Get used to it. And on that note, I'm actually just going to jump straight into my podcast. And as I always do here on the Random Rambles of Jay, we're going to jump into the segment where I sit and gas on and on and on and on about what has been going on in my life. It's my life. Don't you forget. Count in the crowd. I mentioned in my last podcast, or I think it might be something that popped up in my last two podcasts, that I was in the field or in the market of finding myself a brand new job. And I'm still looking. I have to admit, I haven't been looking as hard as I probably should. And I'm kind of torn between, I'm kind of in this weird place where I hate my current employment setup so much that I just want to get out and leave. But on the other hand, I don't want to just jump into any old job that has absolutely no correlation and no link to what it is I would like to pursue and go forth with as a career. So as a result of that, I've been very, very picky about the jobs I've been applying for, and not just applying for anything, because the last thing I want to do is kind of go from one situation that's not ideal for me into another situation which is even less ideal. So I'm kind of caught in that weird kind of place. I'm sure some of you, at least one of you who are listening to this podcast, will be able to sympathize with me on that one, that sometimes when it comes to jobs, you have to be a bit picky. I guess I'm in a fortunate position where I can be picky. I know that there are some people out there where it's not an option. They just have to go for anything that is available ASAP. But I'm very fortunate that I'm in a position where I can be picky, at least for now. I know I'm not going to be able to be picky forever, but for the time being, I can be a bit picky. And I'm kind of caught. See, everything with me always balances on two ends of spectrums. I'm optimistic and really looking forward into going into something new, because my current job, I've been working it for 5 years now, and it wasn't part of my life's plan to be stuck where I have been for 5 years, but I value those 5 years nonetheless, because I've made some great friends. And you know, what's to say that some of the stuff I did within those 5 years, like go out all the times that I did and go to Japan and start podcasting and blogging and doing all the stuff that I've been doing, would it all have occurred if I was working somewhere else or doing something else? So I value those 5 years, even though they're not part of my life's plan. But I'm at that point now where it's like, okay, you've got to take some control now. You've kind of got to go for what it is that you want to do and stop just going with the flow for the sake of it, I think. So there's that optimism. I feel very optimistic about where I'm going to end up next. But I'm also feeling very disheartened. Obviously, when you apply for so many jobs, especially jobs that you really, really, you read the description and you think to yourself, I can see myself in that situation. That would make me happy to work there doing that. And then you put your all into applying, your cover letter, everything, and you get no response. Nothing. Not even a big fat no in your email inbox. And it can be quite disheartening, because when you get used to that for so long, you begin to think that maybe there isn't a light at the end of this tunnel that you're walking through. And so that's the point I'm at right now. It's like, will I get that break? Will I get that foot in the door of where I'm trying to get to? But my optimism is winning out, definitely. So sometimes I'm very skeptical, and then sometimes I'm very optimistic in terms of thinking that everything happens for a reason and that the timing is always right when it does happen. And that's what I'm trying to tell myself right now. That's what I'm believing right now, that everything will happen when it is supposed to happen. But obviously I need to do what I need to do to ensure that it does happen, and not get complacent and just leave everything up to chance in the universe. So that's where I am right now, kind of trying to lay down the foundations and the bricks so I can walk the path to where I want to be. Yeah, that's that. And I think that whole idea of things happening for a reason has been something that's been rattling around in this hollow head of mine for quite some time. You know when you kind of have stuff transpire and it just makes you wonder, why did this happen and why did this have to happen to me? I've been going through a lot of those moments since the new year. Certain things that have occurred in my life haven't been 100% ideal, and there have been moments where I thought to myself, what is going on? What is life trying to do to me right now? But I kind of have to put things in perspective, especially in light of the earthquake in Haiti. And there was another earthquake, and I feel so ashamed that I cannot remember where it is. But when I think about situations like that, it puts things into perspective that no matter how bad life may seem for me right now, there's someone out there who is in a situation 10 times worse. And I think the one thing I have to tell myself is, and the one thing I have to give absolute thanks for, is that I am in a position where I can make choices about my life and what I do, because there are many people in the world that aren't in that position. They can't make a choice. They're kind of just stuck in a situation that they have to stay in, they have to live in, and everything they do is just to survive. And so when I kind of put things into perspective and look at things that way, it enables me to, I wouldn't say it enables me to smile, like, oh, I'm smiling because my life's good and other people's are shit, but it makes me thankful. You know, I have options. There are still doors open for me, windows open for me. And I'm very fortunate because I have a chance that many other people don't have, millions of other people don't have. So that's been my guiding light. That's been the one thing I've been trying to hold on to day to day in those moments where I think to myself, oh, this sucks. So optimism has definitely been a big watchword for me for 2010. I'm trying not to let any negativity make its way into this year. It's trying, and it's tried to, but it's all about holding on to those simple things, I guess, that make you smile. Like, it might be a really good day. It might be hearing your favourite song. It might be talking to a friend that you've not spoken to in ages. It might be eating your favourite meal. Even today, for instance, I was just walking to the shop and there was this little kid who must have had his headphones on, and he was singing this Timbaland and Justin Timberlake song that some of you might have heard of called Carry Out. And that just made me smile. And I think it's all about that. Try not to think that only massive things can make you smile and make you happy, but trying to find all the happiness in the small little things. Like I said, that's something I've been trying to focus on and trying to hold on to, is not to think that something has to be really big, in your face, amazing to make you happy, but that it can be really small, seemingly insignificant things. That's something I hope some of you can take away with you. Me trying to get all philosophical on your ass. So what tidbits of gaming news have been catching my eye? First, I have to say Super Mario Galaxy 2 looking every bit out of this world as the first game did. I'm a bit disappointed that Nintendo aren't pushing it more. All they seem to be doing is putting out new images, new bits of wallpaper, new pieces of artwork out, and the game releases in like a month. Nintendo need to pull their fingers out of their arses, seriously. But that may be a bit cheeky of me to say, considering they're developing what is probably going to be the best platforming game of 2010. But I just think it's such a shame that Nintendo are putting so much into this game and it probably is not going to sell amazingly. I mean, New Super Mario Bros. Wii outsold Super Mario Galaxy within a couple of months, which is crazy. That game is still in the charts now. It will probably stay in the charts until 2011. And I didn't even think the game was that amazing. It was fun and it was cool and I really liked it, but I always preferred Super Mario Galaxy. That game was amazing. So I'm really, really, really well, that's a lie. I'm not majorly excited about Super Mario Galaxy 2 because my Wii has been getting very little love from me as of late. But it's definitely a game I will pick up. Loving how it looks, loving the new power-ups, loving the fact that Nintendo decided to do a Super Mario Galaxy 2. I think that's what caught me off guard. It was that Nintendo are actually doing a full-on sequel so soon, and it's so far in development. So Super Mario Galaxy 2 is looking great. Nintendo don't seem to be pushing the promotional train, so I'm on a one-man mission to do some myself. And so make sure that if you've got a Wii and you love yourself some Mario, that you go and pick that game up, because I will be. Super Mario Galaxy 2 releases in Japan on May 27th, North America on May 23rd, and Europe on June 11th, and Australia June 10th. So not too much of a gap between different regions there. Another game that really caught my eye, that's been getting a bit of promo recently on different sites, is Vanquish. For those who don't know, Vanquish is a third-person action game which is being directed by Shinji Mikami. And if you don't know who that guy is, shame on you. He is the father of Resident Evil, and he is the man who's responsible for turning the whole franchise on its head for Resident Evil 4. And he's also the man who turned around and said he was not happy with Resident Evil 5 because he didn't have anything to do with that game. And he works at Platinum Games. Platinum Games is pretty much Clover Studios under a different name. If you don't know some of their games, then you need to go out and play some of them because they are pretty amazing. Platinum / Clover have been responsible for Beautiful Joe, Bayonetta, the critically acclaimed Okami, and the likewise critically acclaimed but sold really badly Mad World for the Nintendo Wii. And so I love Platinum Games titles, and I love Shinji Mikami. I think he's a great video games director and producer. So when I heard about him working on a new game for the Xbox 360 and the PS3, I was really excited. I was like, oh great, let me check this out. And I saw shots of the game, and it looks like Halo. Those of you know, I've got a bit of the thing against Halo. Fans don't hate. But I thought to myself, because it's Platinum Games and it's Shinji Mikami, this game is going to have some really unique twist, because Clover / Platinum Games, their titles always have a unique twist. When you look at them, when you look at their games, they look like they're going to be your regular platform adventure game, whatnot, insert genre here. But there is always one really unique twist that makes you think, wow, this game is special. With Beautiful Joe, it was the special powers that he had and just the whole comic book style. With Okami, it was the celestial brush and the whole art style that went with that game. With Bayonetta, it was just the fact it was all out action and that you had this sexy witch who used her hair to strip off and do attacks. Mad World, it was the crazy cel-shaded art style and the insane violence. You know, the list goes on. So when I saw Vanquish, I thought, oh, there's going to be this really unique twist that's going to blow my mind. And it turns out there isn't. The twist is that your character can slide around on his knees and shoot people. Now, this doesn't sound too amazing to me. I mean, sliding around on your knees. I mean, that's something you could do in that, oh God, what's the name of that game? And it was a woman, and she was voiced by the fine as hell chick that played Faith in Angel and Buffy. What's her name? Elijah Doodoo or something like that. Wet. That's the name of the game, Wet. It was kind of Kill Bill, Devil May Cry-esque, and you could slide around on your knees in that game all you liked. So, I don't know. I want to believe that Vanquish is going to be something special, because I'm a huge fan of Shinji Mikami and Platinum Games. So I will keep an eye on it. I just hope it doesn't end up being your regular run-of-the-mill third-person action shoot-em-up, because unless Vanquish is something really special and unique, it's just going to get left by the wayside, especially on 360 and PS3. I mean, because it's got the likes of Gears of War to go up against on the 360, which is immensely popular, and even though they're not third person shoot 'em ups, it's going to be going up against the likes of Modern Warfare 2, which is still selling like mad and has a huge following. Bad Company, Battlefield, you know, really popular games. So I really hope this isn't just selling out because the whole, I'm doing air quotes, Japanese games don't sell as well, because that would be a shame. Platinum Games really can't afford to be putting out these mediocre conformist titles. So I'll be keeping my eye on Vanquish. I just hope it ends up being something really, really special. And another weird story that kind of caught my eye. Halo 2 fans are still playing around with their original Xbox Live accounts, the first Xbox Live accounts. Now, I know Halo love runs deep, like way too deep, seriously. But do you really, to all you gamers out there who are still playing Halo 2 on your original Xbox Live accounts. Now, actually, I missed out a part of the story. Microsoft have shut down the original Xbox Live, which debuted with the first Xbox. And Halo 2 fans, in a bid to not let it die, are leaving their consoles on and staying in matches of Halo 2. Because even though Microsoft has stopped the service, it won't kick these gamers out of the game as long as they're still connected. So you could say they're in a bit of a Halo 2 / Xbox Live protest. Now, we all know Microsoft have a pretty shit track record when it comes to making consoles. Those Xbox consoles are not going to last more than a couple of days. They are going to shut down and burn down somebody's house. And we will be hearing about this on Kotaku. It's silly. I mean, I admire the fact that Halo fans are so dedicated, but come on, leaving your Xboxes on just because you don't want to say goodbye to an Xbox Live service? Come on, save a little bit of money. Go and buy an Xbox 360 and Halo 3. Chances are these hardcore Halo fans have Halo 3 and their 360s up and running fine. It's just they want to prove a point. But my advice to you all, please switch off your Xboxes before your house burns down, because those Xboxes are not going to last. They will not. And you're going to lose your original Xbox Live, your original Halo 2, and your Xbox all in one go. So that's my advice to you. Just switch off your Xboxes, please. Just do it with pride. Let Halo 2 bowl out. And the one story that has just been eating the internet like mad where gaming is concerned is the whole Infinity Ward and Activision deal. It's crazy. I actually wasn't following this story too strongly, partly because I'm not really a huge fan of Modern Warfare, Call of Duty, and I don't own a single Activision game. I think the last Activision game I played was probably Spider-Man the movie on the PlayStation 2. But basically the situation is that the two main guys of Infinity Ward, Jason West and Vince Zampella, they were fired for breaches of contract and insubordination, which, the only people that know the truth, obviously, are the people that fired the two guys. I doubt even the two guys know the full story. But this was a pretty big deal, especially considering that Activision went and outed, it's not like they turned around and said these two are f***ing, but Activision gave the boot to the two people who are largely responsible for what is probably one of the biggest releases over the past decade. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know where their mind's at, Activision. It's not a good look for them, because Activision have constantly been getting themselves involved in really unfavorable situations where games development is concerned. I mean, there was the whole Brutal Legend thing. Activision turning around saying, we're not going to let you release this game because you said you was going to do this. And, Activision are like the new EA, aren't they? There was a period when EA were like the arseholes of the industry and they wanted to take over and stop this game and this, that, whatever, and just be arseholes pretty much. And Activision have just taken their spot, but they're just worse than EA. Never thought I'd say that or see the day, but it's not a good look. Activision is a partner to Infinity Ward. They have been since 2003, I believe, and as a result, I mean, for whatever reason Activision had for sacking these two guys, it's had a really bad knock-on effect because lots of other Infinity Ward staff have left because of the situation. And it's not looking good because obviously Activision still, they have all the rights to the Call of Duty games. So, and there are still people at Infinity Ward, probably just the woman that makes the tea and the little black guy who comes in and polishes the floor at midnight. But still, when a company no longer has the two driving forces behind a certain franchise, are the future games really going to be as good? Probably not. And it makes me wonder what the true reason Activision had for sacking these two. It must have been a really, really big reason. Or likewise, it might have been a silly reason and Activision just wanted to swing their elbows around and stamp their authority all about Infinity Ward. But, you know, that's their call. It's a bad call, a really bad call, because I think it would be a real... I'm no Call of Duty or Modern Warfare fan, but it would be really, really sad if a franchise that's continued to go from strength to strength and acquire such a huge fan base kind of turns to shit and goes the way of Guitar Hero. And it's looking like that could happen. So all the fans out there of Modern Warfare 2, treasure that game, because it very, very possibly could be the last good Call of Duty in the series. So that was really bad. I've been following it more and more just because it's getting interesting. It's like a soap. It's like the OC within the gaming industry. I love it. Well, I don't love that people are being made redundant and getting sacked, but it's just the drama. You know, the video game industry's come a long way, people, a long, long way. Drama all up in this industry now. Even though I come off like a pessimistic sod sometimes, I do actually love music that makes me feel uplifted, really happy, and just puts me in a good mood. And one particular song always does that without fail. There is just something about this song that I don't know if there is something subliminal in the melody or the guitars or the lyrics, but no matter how bad a mood I'm in, whenever I hear this song, it puts me in a good mood and it makes me feel really optimistic. And I'm a huge sucker for songs like that. I remember the first time I heard this song, it's actually a band who I came across by complete chance. Actually, I'll tell you how I came across the band. I subscribed to the YouTube channel of the record label they're signed to. So obviously whenever there's a new music video out or like a new preview to a song or something like that, I'd be notified. And I was just going through them and this one song of theirs really caught my attention. I was like, oh, I really like this band. I think they're really cool. And then so from then I kind of kept following them. And then they came out with this song called Hologram. And the video's really happy and go-lucky and all the rest of it, but the song as well, and it just... I remember sitting there listening to it and just smiling. I was like, wow, this is such a cool song. And I know that sounds sappy and it sounds gay and it sounds stupid, but I don't care. It's just a song that always puts me in a good mood. It always makes me smile. When I'm driving in my car on a nice day, I'll crank it up with the window down and headbang. And if you like it, then great. I've converted someone into a fan of a band by the name of Nico Touches the Walls.
Now playing on Random J Radio. Radio.
Nico Touches the Walls. Hologram. Hologram. Now playing.
I'm not the one. And now, a Japan story from the Chronicles of Jay in Japan.
I remember this one time when my friends and I, we had separated. I think half of us wanted to go and do one thing, half of us wanted to go and do another, but we were within the same area, so we said we'll go off, do whatever, and then at such and such a time we'll all meet up. And that's what we did. I got a phone call from one of the guys saying, oh, we're at the meeting spot, where are you? I was like, we're just coming, we're walking up the road, if you look down you'll see us, or you'll at least see me. I mean, 6 foot guy in Japan standing out like a sore thumb. And my mates and I were walking down the street, and I could see the rest of the guys standing at this, I think it was a fountain. And as I was walking towards them, there was a woman on a bicycle, and she was like an OL, which is, she was like an office lady. So she had like, I remember exactly what she was wearing. It was like a brown suit with a skirt that just came above the knee, and she was in heels and she was cycling her bicycle. A quick side note, lots of people ride bicycles in Japan. I had no idea. It's not as bad as Chun-Li's stage from Street Fighter Alpha 2, but it's nearing that level. It's nearing that level. So she was riding on her bike, and she turned. There was like a an area where you park your bike and chain it. And so she was actually riding her bike towards me, and then she kind of turned in to the bike parking facility pole thingy. If there's a proper term, I have no idea what it is. So she turned into this area and she got off her bike, but obviously she's in a skirt. So she got off of her bike very ungracefully, and I saw everything. Like, I saw Florida from Japan, put it that way. And I wasn't the only one. It was because obviously when she's in a skirt, and she literally, the way she got off the bike, it couldn't have been any more ungraceful if she tried. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, the way she got off, it literally, it was like she hurricane kicked off the bike. Her leg was that straight out. And remember, she's in a skirt. So I've seen all the way up her skirt. And the guys at the fountain that are waiting for us, they've seen it as well, because obviously she did like a 90 degree arc. It was almost like she did it deliberately to show us, like, yeah, this is my pussy, you lot, take a look at this. I just couldn't believe it. I was staring. It was like a car crash. You wanted to look. Part of you was like, look away, look away, look away, but you couldn't. And I'm staring, and I've turned to my mate, and he's still staring, and I've looked at the other lot, and they're staring, and we've just all looked at each other and thought, wow, we can't believe she did that. And then she looked all of us in the face and then just walked off like it was nothing. Like she did not just show her undercarriage to a bunch of gaijin guys. I was in shock, and to this day, that moment sticks with me. It was a very profound moment. It was just crazy. I still can't believe it happened. It was just the way she got off the bike. I thought to myself, fair enough, you're in heels and a skirt, but she could have been a little bit more graceful. But on the other hand, she might have done it on purpose. She might have fancied her chances with us. One of us, all of us, I don't know. You'll have to ask her. But that's definitely one moment during our time in Japan that I remember. It was a very, very special moment. Very special moment indeed. The Random Rambles of Jay. In terms of what's been going on in my gaming life, it's pretty much been Final Fantasy 13 and not much else. Actually, that's a lie. Do you know I'm still addicted to Resident Evil 5's Mercenaries mode? It's sad. And even though I moaned and was like, I'm not paying no money for no additional content, Capcom can shove it, I caved and I bought that crappy Desperate Escape for Resident Evil 5. I tell you what, the only reason I bought Desperate Escape was because, not Desperate Escape, sorry, Lost in Nightmares. The only reason I bought that throwback piece of shit was because it comes with an additional Mercenaries mode. But I didn't know that it didn't unlock every character. It unlocks a new Mercenaries mode and two characters, but you have to pay for the rest, and that's some bullshit. And I've definitely put my foot down. I've been like, no, I'm not paying for extra characters. You know, when I play online with people, they're like, oh, why don't you pick someone else? I'm like, well, I've not got anyone else. Why don't you buy them? Why don't you buy them for me? I'm not buying them. Piss off. I'm helping you get double S ranks and you're trying to get fresh with me over me using the same character. Sit down. But Resident Evil 5 Mercenaries mode has been getting... I've been playing it way too much, way too much. I don't know what I'm going to do if anybody was to ever stop playing that game and I had no one to play it online with. I think I might cry. And the game that I also mentioned, the big game, the controversial game, that is Final Fantasy 13. Sorry, I couldn't help it. I love that battle theme. But yeah, Final Fantasy 13. And do you know what? The game kind of sucks. It kind of sucks my balls, kind of alternates between sucking the left and then the right and then giving it the old but sorry, that was really disgusting. But yeah, 13 is a bit crappy.
Was there a game that you thought you'd like and you decided to buy it? Then you got home to play it and realised it was shit. Let's talk about it.
I had my reservations about Final Fantasy 13 to begin with. Final Fantasy 10 is a game that I wasn't a huge fan of. Funnily enough, and this may speak volumes about the kind of person I am, but I really liked 10-2, even though everybody hated it. But as a Final Fantasy game, it was whack. As a title, I thought it was pretty fun. Final Fantasy 12 was absolutely crap, and I hold a vendetta against that game because it's the reason I ended up failing my dissertation at uni. So Final Fantasy 13, it didn't really have much to live up to, but At some point, I was adamant that perhaps Square Enix are actually going to come correct with this game and come through for me and all the fans out there. But they didn't. The graphics look amazing. The soundtrack's brilliant. I absolutely love it, especially the battle theme. The story starts off good, and you've got a good set of characters. But the game never really seems to exploit them or go any deeper with them. You hit a point in the game where, I mean, the main character, or so I thought was the main character, is supposed to be Lightning, and she's the chick who's acrobatic, athletic, stabs and shoots people, feisty girl with a stinky ass attitude.
Lightning, slow down, girl. I ain't no soldier, I ain't got your kind of stamina.
Well, you got enough to complain.
What you say?
And when you play the game, you realise she's not really the main character at all. And she was probably only made the main character so Square Enix could stick an image of her on the box with her legs open in a miniskirt. I mean, come on now. I mean, she's such an awesome character. She's an awesome character design. And at the start of the game, she's a really cool character. But she runs out of steam and she just ends up like wallpaper. And there's another girl in the game by the name of Vanille, who is the most annoying bitch in the world. She just makes you want to stab her. All she does throughout the game is make really bad jokes and sounds that one can only assume are orgasms. She walks around, she has an orgasm. She does an attack, she has an orgasm. She casts magic, she has an orgasm. Someone bumps into her, it's like her water's broken all over the floor. It's just annoying. I mean... It's like, bitch, shut up. And, I mean, on the whole, Final Fantasy XIII has a really cool cast of characters, but the story never goes deep enough with them. Square Enix, it's like they didn't even know how to tell the story. It's like they knew how to start. It's like they started off the story really well, but they kind of didn't figure out how to tell it halfway through, which is really bad, and it's really blatant because the narrative has this really steady pace. You know, the narrative moves really, really quickly. Well, not quickly, but the narrative is moving at a consistent pace. And then you hit a point in the game where the narrative pretty much stops dead, and it stays dead until you fight the last boss. Final Fantasy XIII is just a shame because it has enough going on for it that it could have been really good. But I think Square Enix just got complacent. I know that a major debate has been, Square Enix were trying to make the game appeal to Western audiences, but I think Square Enix shot themselves in the foot, because in an attempt to make the game, and I'm doing air quotes, Western, they butchered a franchise that fans loved, and a lot of Final Fantasy fans have dismissed the game. So in an attempt to make the game more Western, they've lost fans. And then another thing is that even though Square Enix changed major parts of the Final Fantasy formula, it's still not enough to encourage fans of Halo, Gears of War, Modern Warfare 2, Uncharted to pick this game up and play it, because it's the same old Final Fantasy that they hated when 7 came out, when 8 came out, when 9 came out, when 10 came out. So it's like they've ended up developing this game that has just alienated their fan base. And then the cross-section of the gamers they were trying to appeal to all in one fell swoop. So Final Fantasy XIII is just full of fail for that reason. And there are moments when you do enjoy playing the game. I'm not going to lie and make out like the game is absolute shit, because there were moments where I thought to myself, actually, I rather like this game. It's actually really fun. I can't remember the last time I had this much fun in a Final Fantasy game. And the battle system is amazing. It's near flawless. But as a whole, as a package, the game just doesn't hold together that well at all, and it's a real shame. I won't go too much into it. I did a long ass review on my blog, which you can check out at randomjblog.com. Look around and you'll find it. It's just a shame, and the plot's weak as hell. The one problem with Final Fantasy XIII, which it seems to do, it does a great job of painting a picture and creating the world that the game is set in. And you believe in it at the beginning, you really do believe in it, and you're willing to invest yourself in it completely. But the problem is that there are so many aspects of the story and so many aspects of the world that aren't really disclosed with you in the best way. The game has something called a data log, which you can go and check whenever something really cool occurs or you come across something of importance. You can go in the menu and read all about it. But the problem is that the game seems to just throw lots of important information in this data log because it's unsure of how to present it to you in a better way. And there's some quite significant stuff that just gets relegated to the data log. And you think to yourself, why wasn't there a cutscene to show that? Why wasn't there a conversation to disclose that piece of information to me? Why just throw it in the data log? And the thing is with this data log is you don't really read it. I've still not read it. I mean, I ended up checking bits and pieces during the periods of the game where I was so bored. I thought, well, the data log can't be any more boring than this. And then I found out, actually, some of this information is really relevant. But the game just throws it in the data log, and the game doesn't... It's not even like the game puts up a message saying, oh, there's something really important you should read in the data log. It just says, oh, it's been updated, and that's it. So there are probably many gamers out there that didn't even bother to read the data log. It's a joke. It's just a real shame. I do wonder why this game was in development for so long. It must have been the graphics and the soundtrack and the battle system, because they're the only three aspects of the game that feel like effort was put into them. So if you haven't liked Final Fantasy in the past, there's nothing 13 is going to do to sway you. I actually would encourage you to play one of the earlier games, because Final Fantasy 13, whatever you do during that game, it's not gameplay, because you're literally just running through corridors and fighting battles in between and pushing X. That's the extent that the gameplay goes to, really. It's just D-pad and X. You can play the game with a Wii remote very easily. No waggle, no nothing, just D-pad and one button. Final Fantasy 13 was a bit of a letdown. I should trade it in to really get my money's worth out of it, but I have this weird thing where I don't really trade in games. I'm stupid, I know. And then there's Wii, which I've not touched for a year. No, tell a lie, I touch it once a week just to dust it, but I don't play the damn thing at all. There are times when I think to myself, why am I keeping this game? And then I think, oh yeah, Metroid, Zelda, Mario. The only reasons why Nintendo consoles are relevant these days. Actually, I won't say that relevant, because obviously the Wii is hugely relevant, seeing as Sony jacked their controls and Microsoft jumped on the whole motion sensing bandwagon, but Wii is just doing nothing for me whatsoever. Nothing. I haven't played it since I got my Xbox 360 a year ago. And it wasn't only, wow, the whole Xbox Online interface is so much better and the games look better and all the games I really, really, really want are out on this console and I can get them. But on a really graphical whore note, Wii games look awful on a HD TV, because I got my HD TV when I got my Xbox 360 and the graphics look horrendous. They look so bad. I thought to myself, let me put on Super Mario Galaxy because this will look great no matter what. No, it looks terrible. It made me cry. And there's just so much shovelware on Wii. You know, I mean, Nintendo needs to send someone round to third parties' HQs and have them suck some dick or something, because they need stronger third party support. Because Nintendo can't keep floating their consoles on their first party titles forever.
Break. I'm a third party. Listen up, y'all.
In Kyoto, it's true Nintendo. We were doing our own little thing. My Sony and Mike were cranking shit up. We were shuffling on with the Wii. High definition graphics was all they mentioned. We didn't pay any attention. We made a mistake. Now this is a free third party. Put some games on Wii.
If you like it, then why don't you put a game on it? If you like it, then why don't you put a game on it? Don't be mad, cause we still want to win it. If you like it, then why don't you put a game on it? Lippy-pees, lippy-pee-pee-pee-pees. Lippy-pees, lippy-pees, lippy-pee-pee-pee-pees. Lippy-pees. If you like it, then why don't you put a game on it? If you like it, then why don't you put a game on it? Don't be mad, cause we still want to win it. If you like it, then why don't you put a game on it? Lippy-pees, lippy-pee-pee-pee-pees. Lippy-pees, lippy-pees, lippy-pee-pee-pees. Lippy-pees.
Don't tell me we ain't powerful enough,
cause that don't stop your ass
from making games on DS. So please
Make a game that reaches and teaches and preaches to gamers that we can do hardcore forevermore. Make games that gamers want, cause if you don't, our money print goes on hold. And that's cool.
I'm a third party. If you like it, then why don't you put a game on it? If you like it, then why don't you put a game on it? Don't be mad, cause we still want to whip it. If you like it, then why don't you put a game on it? If you like it, then why don't you put a game on it? If you like it, then why don't you put a game on it? Don't be mad, cause we still want to whip it. If you like it, then why don't you put a game on it?
I guess I should be grateful I've still got games and consoles to play though, because one of my friends, bless him, his PlayStation 3 conked out on him whilst he was playing Final Fantasy 13. I think it was the game that gave his PS3 AIDS. Sony told him, yeah, we'll fix it in 6 weeks, and £150 later, and he's still not got his PS3 back. Last time I spoke to him, he said he hadn't had it back. So poor little juice on the floor for our homie. You know, console down, got nothing to play. He's got a 360, but he hasn't got a lot of games for it, and he has no Xbox Live Gold account, so chances are that's not getting played. And actually, that speaks volumes, because he's actually got a Wii, but he doesn't play it. He actually talks as though he doesn't have one at all. That's really sad.
If you'd like to e-stalk me further, I'm now on Twitter. You can check out my Twitter page at www.twitter.com/_randomj_. And if you're having trouble remembering that memory unfriendly address, you can check out my blog at randomjblog.com, where everything from my Nintendo Wii code, Xbox Live Gamertag, YouTube channel, email, and Twitter links from.
And we now draw to the end of the Random Rambles of Jay podcast number 22. Yay! You do not understand how during January, February, March, there were periods where I thought to myself, I'm never going to get another podcast out, really and truly. And here we are. I'd like to give a huge thank you to those of you who listen on a regular basis and have to put up with my sporadic releases of podcasts. Big thank you to Jeff Rick, who sent me a lovely email a couple of months ago saying how much he liked my podcasts. And Jeff Rick, your email was awesome. Thank you. Your email really made me smile. Do you know, when I was talking about little things that make me smile, Jeff Rick, your email had me beaming that whole day. So thank you so much for your emails. They really meant the world to me. And a big thank you to 4D. I don't think I've ever thanked you before. Thank you so much, 4D, because I know you check in with my podcasts and you send me messages on Xbox Live every now and then. Random messages, but cool messages nonetheless. And what's his face with the ginger hair? Yes, you know who you are. My ginger nut, Jun Lee, aka Red Alert, aka His Redness, aka John, aka Mr. Lee. I know you're always down with my podcast, so yeah, thank you. And to any newcomers who this may be their first podcast, any random rambles of J virgins out there?
Hello.
Hope you stick with me. Hope you subscribe to my podcasts. My podcasts are available on iTunes, on my podcasting blog, which is therandomramblesofj.blogspot.com. Alternatively, if you want to get in contact with me, you can email me. I'm also on Twitter. My Twitter address is not the most memorable. It's twitter.com/_randomj_, I think. But if you check out my blog at randomjblog.com, everything links from there. You'll find my email address, my Twitter, my podcasting blog, my, I'm forgetting something, my Xbox Live gamer tag, my Wii code, all of it, it's all there. So randomjblog.com, everything links from there. And on that note, I will say goodbye. Hopefully my next podcast will come sooner rather than later. And like I said, try to look out for those little things that make you smile. They make all the difference to your day. You have no idea how much so. And stay safe, stay inspired, and I will check in with you for podcast number 23. Bye.